This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, all this week you're going to hear a message that was actually given at Lebanon Presbyterian Church this summer in Lebanon, Ohio, where Peter Larson is minister. Bruce Larson, Peter's dad, was someone I heard speak numerous times over the years, and Peter asked me to come and preach on the subject of surrendered prayer. God bless you as you listen to part one and the message all this week on Cross Hope. I asked Randy and Chuck, may I use humor? Because some churches aren't too humorous, to be honest with you. And I mean that. I've been told in some churches, you can believe this or not, we prefer you not. I just spoke 15 times in India in February and March, and there were two churches that where I could preach in English without a translator, where they understood English well enough. So I had two opportunities to do that. So I thought I would ask the minister of one of those two churches, is it okay if I use humor? And he shook his head and said, I'd rather you not. And I said, well, will you tell me why? And he said, I'm afraid with the differences in the culture, they may not understand. And he said, here's what I'm afraid will happen, Randy. You will tell a joke and you'll tell the punchline and the people will just stare at you with a blank stare. And he said, won't that offend you? And I said, I'm used to that in Ohio. It's a common thing. So I'd feel very comfortable with that. We're going to talk about surrender and prayer today for this reason. Everybody surrenders to someone or something. Everybody does. People surrender to the culture. People surrender to peer pressure. People surrender to their own desires and temptations. Twice in the passage I read today, Jesus said, pray so that you won't yield to temptation. He knows something about that for you and for me. We need to pray so we don't yield to temptation. And my point today may surprise you in asking you to consider surrendering to the Lord in prayer with your life is because you're going to surrender to something. You know, some people surrender to bitterness. And they've been bitter for so long that they're identified with their bitterness. You've got people in your family like that. People surrender to anger. They've been angry so long that you've forgotten when it started. But they have surrendered to their anger, and that's the point I want to make at the beginning. We all surrender. We all surrender to something. Prayer is the most neglected spiritual element in most people's lives, including mine. And listen carefully. This is really important. It's not just a matter that we need to pray more, and doggone it, I need to pray more, and we just need to pray more often. It's more than that. It's having a heart of prayer where it's second nature to you, that you get to the place in your life where the most natural thing is to call out like David did in that video, Jesus, help me with this hiccuping. Can you pray to God about hiccups? Yes. You prayed about a lot smaller things than chronic hiccuping, and so have I. And the Lord wants us to take our requests to Him. And part of that is surrendering to the Lord. Goes like this. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed. Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. There's the surrender part. Not my will, but yours be done.
Well, yesterday on Cross Hope, we began a message that was actually given in Lebanon, Ohio at Lebanon Presbyterian Church. Peter Larson, the minister there, asked me to speak on the subject of the prayer of surrender of Jesus from Luke 22. We continue with part two today and the rest of the message all this week on Cross Hope. God bless you and thanks for listening.
One of the most powerful stories I've read in a long time was written by a woman by the name of Crystal from Arkansas. If I knew her last name, I'd give it to you. But she talks about her past, how she has surrendered her life to Christ, and she's a believer in Jesus. But she said, "My past was pretty difficult, and my life is still difficult." I'm guessing that most people can't identify with what she went through, but maybe there is somebody who can. "We had a time of no food, no shelter, and neglect is what I remember. I can remember when I was little, my family had no electricity, no hot water, no food." Get this, one time we had to fill up 2-liter bottles of water at a laundromat so we could have something to drink. I was embarrassed to tell anyone about that, because even when I was little, and I'm still embarrassed to tell people about that. "I was separated from my mother at a young age and forced to live with relatives. My past made me who I am today. Don't dwell on it, because I know there's something bigger out there for me, and I have and will continue to use my gifts for God. The miracle is not to fly in the air or walk on the water, but just to walk on the earth." Do you know what that means? So often you and I are looking for miracles to happen in our lives, and the miracle is just to make it through the day for some people. And to make it through the day without cursing the Lord who made us. To make it through the day without cursing somebody else. And to make it through the day with a surrendered heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the prayer I'm going to pray for you. And I want you to pray for me today as we look at the prayer of Jesus. I want to do a little verse by verse. In verse 39, it says, "Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives." I love that phrase. He went out as usual. What describes you as usual? Now, this could be personal and hurtful for some people, but how would your family describe what you do, how you talk, and they use the word as usual? It's usually negative, isn't it? 9 times out of 10, it's a negative thing. And you say that about other people. There he goes, as usual. There she goes again, as usual. And Jesus went to pray. As usual. Prayer of surrender is to be a regular thing, not an occasional also-ran in your life. Twice, Jesus says this, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." I don't want to read too much into Numbers, but I think it's worth paying attention when Jesus mentions something twice. Twice in just these few verses, he says, "Pray that you will not yield to temptation." What does that say to you? Who do you think you are? Who do I think I am that we don't need to pray about the issue of temptation? What are you tempted with? And I know people always think of some scandalous things and some terrible things, but you never hear people talk about this. "I'm tempted to hate my brother. I'm tempted to hate my sister. I'm tempted to resent people in my family. I'm tempted to this." And we tend to forget and gloss over the real temptations in most people's lives are not the dramatic ones that we think of, even though they can be. They're usually having to do with another person. What are you tempted with? And I know people always think of some scandalous things and some terrible things, but you never hear people talk about this. "I'm tempted to hate my brother. I'm tempted to hate my sister. I'm tempted to resent people in my family. I'm tempted to this." And we tend to forget and gloss over the real temptations in most people's lives are not the dramatic ones that we think of, even though they can be. They're usually having to do with another person. Most of the problems in your life has a name on it, doesn't it? You know what I mean by that? Most of the problems in your life has a name on it. And just so you and I don't get too proud, you may be the name that somebody else mentions. Really, I may be the name that somebody else mentions. The prayer of surrender is centered in verse 42. "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Jesus didn't say that because it sounded good. He didn't say it because it would make a great sound bite, you know, for the press. You know why he said it? He meant it. He meant it. Father, if it's possible, let this cup, what's the cup? The cross he was about to face. It was his lot that he was going to deal with, to being executed on a cross for the sins of the world. He said, if this can pass from me, but nevertheless, your will be done, not mine. I don't know if any of you remember the old story in the Old Testament of the three men with the funny names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, thrown into a fiery furnace by King Nebuchadnezzar because of their loyalty to Jehovah God. And they refused to bend the knee to any other god. And I love, and most people don't even know this part of the story, I love what they tell King Nebuchadnezzar. King, we believe that our God will deliver us from this fiery furnace. And God did. But here's what most people forget. Here's what it says. But even if he doesn't, we'll still believe in him. Even if God doesn't deliver us, we'll still believe in him. I think the King James uses the phrase, but if not, we'll still believe in him. Sometimes the but if not comes to pass in your life with the death of a loved one. Some of you have been through it in the last year or two. Sometimes the but if not comes to pass in a son or daughter's life. It comes to pass in a lot of things with personal illness and personal challenges, but we have to be willing, as crazy as it may sound to some people, for the but if not to happen, the but if not to take place in life. You and I have got to come to the place when we realize who we're kneeling in front of when we pray. You're not praying to a guru. You're praying to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're not praying to a master, a great thinker, a great mind. You're praying to the Lord of creation, his Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. It makes all the difference in the world.
Well, all this week, a message given at Lebanon Presbyterian Church in Lebanon, Ohio, from the Gospel of Luke, the 22nd chapter, about the prayer of surrender of Jesus before he was crucified on the cross. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. I hope you'll look at our website and listen Thursday and Friday to the conclusion of this message on Luke 22. God bless.
Robinson Crusoe is a book. How many of you read Robinson Crusoe? I mean, most people have at some point in your life. It's a great book. I remember it from school. He found himself on a desert island, obviously, and when darkness fell, he retreated to the beach, built a fire, and huddled close to the fire. The range of security extended only to the outer edge of his campfire's light. Do you get that? In other words, his only ring of security was how far the firelight went out from his fire on the beach. He said beyond that was the woods and the trees behind him on up the beach. And he said, knowing that if he stepped beyond the flickering light of his campfire, his terror would be compounded by the distress of being out of his realm and not knowing how to cope with the situation. There are times that every man, every woman, every young person in this room comes to the campfire moment where you're standing there praying, you're kneeling there praying, you're on your face praying, which, by the way, Mark and Matthew mentioned that Jesus fell on his face praying in this situation. You can't fall on your face until you kneel, usually. And that's a good place to be. And Jesus found out that the fire light wasn't very far out. And you come to that place in your life in a marriage situation. You can come to that place in a health situation. You can come to that place in a financial situation where the fire light is out there and you know, man, if we step beyond that point, we don't know what's going to happen. What do you do in a case like that? You trust. You trust the one you surrender. You either trust the world that you've surrendered to, the world system apart from Christ, or you surrender and respond to the one. Trust the one who you've given your life to, who gave his life for you, who gave his all on the cross. Dr. Paul Persall was a man who was called a neuropsychologist. He counseled men and women before and after heart transplants. It's becoming more and more common for people to have heart transplants. He wrote a book called Heart Code. And Dr. Persall said he noticed something that at first he didn't want to publicly reveal because he knew people would look askance at it and people would look and say, that's crazy. But you know what he noticed? That people who have had heart transplants have personality changes. People who have heart transplants, get this, have things happen in their lives that don't happen with people who've had a kidney transplant, a liver transplant, or a lung transplant, just heart transplants. And I didn't believe it at first until I started reading the book, and he told one anecdotal story, many anecdotal stories, but the one that grabbed my heart was this one. He told of a man who had a factory job, as he described it, said he was a racist, said he hated classical music. He was country and western. That's it. Don't even talk to me about any other kind of music. That kind of guy had a heart transplant. And in the months and a year or two later, he started reaching out to people of the African-American race. And his wife said, that's not like him. And not only that, he started thinking about listening to classical music. And here's a guy, you know, listens to Willie and the rest of them. And he was wanting to hear classical music. Had no idea, by the way, who gave him a heart.
Folks, you really have to hear the conclusion of this message tomorrow. A message given at Lebanon Presbyterian Church this summer. It concludes tomorrow with a powerful message you need to hear. God bless you. Well, all this week, a message that was originally given this summer at Lebanon Presbyterian Church in Lebanon, Ohio. We concluded with the beginning of a powerful story told by Dr. Paul Persall about the impact of heart transplants on the personalities of people who receive a new heart. You need to hear the conclusion today. God bless you.
And in the months and a year or two later, he started reaching out to people of the African-American race, and his wife said, that's not like him. And not only that, he started thinking about listening to classical music. And here's a guy, you know, listens to Willie and the rest of them, but he was wanting to hear classical music. Had no idea, by the way, of who gave him a heart. It wasn't until later it was revealed that the heart he received was from a young African-American musician who was on his way to a music class, studying to be a classical violinist when he was gunned down, I think in Chicago, not far from where I grew up. And Dr. Persall said, isn't that interesting? He said, people can discount that, they can dismiss it. And he said, when you get a new heart, something happens. What a phrase. When you get a new heart, something happens. It seems to me the Bible talks about that. When you get a new heart, something happens. You say, why are you telling us that story? For this reason. Maybe the reason you haven't been a man of prayer. Maybe the reason you haven't been a woman of prayer is because you need a new heart. You don't need to pray more. You need a new heart. You don't need to pray 5 times a day or 10 times a day. You and I need a new heart. And the Lord God Almighty is the giver of new hearts. He puts a new heart in us. It's not a mistake that the Bible describes the heart as the seat of emotion and the seat of love and the seat of communication with God the Father. The heart is more than just an organ that pumps blood, according to Dr. Tom Corwin, a family practice doctor who said in a book about the heart, says this, when I met Linda, his wife, he said, I got a new heart. When he met his wife, Linda, he got a new heart. What happened? He started thinking differently. He started talking differently. He started acting differently. Why? He had a new heart because of the one he loved. Tell me what you love, whom you love, and I'll tell you what kind of heart you have. And so the prayer we're going to pray as we close in a moment is, Lord, give me a heart for prayer. Not only give me a heart for prayer, but Lord, give me a heart for surrendered prayer. Give me a heart that begins and ends with surrender. Would you listen to that again? That may be the most important thing I said all morning. God, give me a heart that begins and ends with surrender. Why? It's all about surrender. I'm asking you not to surrender to the most powerful being in the universe. I'm asking you to surrender to the greatest love in the universe. The greatest love in the universe. The one who loves you more than you love yourself. The one who loves you more than your spouse does. The one who loves you more than your children do, your parents, anybody you can think of. He's the one who put out his hands on a cross and said, I love you. Anything positive in your life is connected to the cross. Remember that. Anything positive in your marriage, connected to the cross. Anything positive with your children, somehow, some way it's connected to the cross and everything that Jesus accomplished on the cross.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.